Let me break this down a little more. Wealth is created by either people at work or money at work. For example, $5 million earning 10% interest will give you approximately $500,000 a year. So whether you get out of bed or not, you're making $41,000 a month in residual income. In this case, you're leveraging off of your money. Your money's working for you. That's having money at work, which is the goal. But how does one get the money to put to work? By having people at work. Suppose you own a company and you employ just one person, me. I work for 8 hours on Monday and you work for the same 8 hours on Monday that I do. Now pay close attention. You get paid on 16 hours worth of work because you take a portion of my productivity as income for yourself. You're leveraging off of my efforts because I'm your employee. So theoretically, the more employees you have working for you, the more leverage you have. That's people at work. However, let's bring some reality to this discussion. Have you ever had employees? If you have, you know that in theory, hiring employees sounds like a great way to achieve leverage, but it's very difficult to do. And the reason being is simple. No employee will ever work as hard for your company as you will because they don't own it. Employees tend to have more of a renter's mentality than an owner's mentality. How do you treat a rental car? If you spill a soda in the front seat, do you stop and shampoo the rug? I've heard it said that if you have one employee, you have one headache. If you have 100 employees, you run an adult daycare center. For you to get this true leverage of employing others so you get more done, you must create a situation where everyone has the same amount to gain. Then, and only then, will you have true leverage. One industry that sort of has this is the real estate industry. Let's say that I'm a real estate broker and I hire an agent named Robert. Robert sells a building. Robert earns 3% of the selling price of that building, and so do I, the broker. Why do I, the broker, earn a percentage when it was actually Robert who sold the building? Because I, the broker, did some of the advertising. I trained Robert. It's my office. I put up the risk. I did a lot of things. And so it's valid that I, as the broker, earn my money. But Robert doesn't work for me as an employee. He's an agent who works for himself. It's totally in the agent's interest to earn more money. This is a very important differentiation from an employee. If the broker wants more money, he or she just needs to hire and train more agents. My point is that the broker and the agent have the same amount to gain from the sale of the home, which is a form of leverage for the broker. The broker has people at work, but not in the form of an employee. Agents are far better than employees, but there's still a problem with this structure. You may have already picked up on it. The broker can have multiple agents, but the agents cannot. The broker has leverage, the agents don't, which creates a conflict until the agents begin to do what most brokers dread. What happens when I, the broker, have been real effective at teaching Robert to be a good agent? What's Robert going to want to do in a couple of years? Cut away and be his own broker, right? Is this good for me, the broker? No, because as soon as he becomes a broker, two bad things happen to me. One, he breaks away from me and I lose him as an income source. And two, worse than number one, he's now my competitor. Who trained this new competitor? I did. He obviously knows how I run my business, meaning that he knows all my good stuff. By the way, this doesn't just happen in the real estate industry. It happens in practically every industry. Have you ever heard the expression, "I'm just going to work there for experience"? Well, what does that mean? It means I'm going to strip them of their knowledge and then go do it myself. If you're a business owner, how many people have you trained who are no longer working for you? How many people have you trained to be your competitors? This gets worse. Let's say that Robert is now a broker right down the street. What will he do now that he's a broker? He'll go out and hire his own agents, right? And let's say one of those agents is named Linda. Linda also eventually wants to be a broker, so she becomes a competitor to me that I indirectly trained as well as Robert, who I directly trained. And this continues on and on. I, the broker, actually created a chain of competitors that I trained. Is this an intelligent way to expand business? Absolutely not. What if we did something entirely different? Let's say instead, I, the broker, am going to encourage Robert to be a broker. I want him to become a broker from day one. Trying to hold Robert back or not showing Robert all my best marketing methods is the wrong action. The only way that you or I can ever retain a leader is to provide him or her with the same opportunity for growth that we have. Which is why I earlier stated that the only way to have true leverage is when you have a structure where everyone has the same amount to gain. So from day one, I'm going to encourage Robert to be a broker. And when he does, he doesn't break away from me and become my competitor. Robert just shifts from agent to broker, which now allows Robert to hire his own agents, just as I have done. I'm going to continue earning a percentage of what Robert and his agents sell, and shouldn't I? I trained him. I put up the risks. It's my office, and all the reasons I mentioned earlier. Now, the percentage I earn from Robert and his organization should be smaller than when he was my agent, but I should still earn a percentage. Why would you or I work with Robert's agents? Because it's in our financial interest. The more money that Robert's agents make, the more money we make. The more money Robert makes, the more money we make. That's our continued incentive to always help Robert and his agents. So it's a win-win for all parties involved. Now, some people hear this and say, gosh, isn't that one of those pyramids? And what's the perception of a pyramid? People at the top make all the money and the people down below do all the work, right? Isn't that the perception of a pyramid? Professor King, explain why this is not a pyramid and why people at the top don't necessarily make all the money.